The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. you are listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Lexi Brinkley and Aviana Berrientos in studio with me, as well as Von Eaglin and Dewan Bennett, two black shrinks. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Is that what you guys are going to go by?
We're going to go by like two black unicorns. I think that's what the name is.
Two black unicorns. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
I think that works.
Two black unicorns. Okay, so that's interesting because, you know, when you think of a unicorn, you think that, you know, there's a, you know, the pointer, if you will.
So the pointer. I don't know if that's.
Is that the
horn?
The
I guess.
Horn,
the horn. I guess.
Horn. Okay, horn, so guess. It's phallic, some degree. Yeah,
a little bit. So, that is the running.
Is that why?
The running joke is that, you know, whenever you find an African American male with a PhD, that is a unicorn because we really don't exist out there.
Really?
Yeah, because you know we're an at risk population in the higher education environment, and so, you know, a lot of times we just fail out of school or we don't go to school, or of course there's mass incarceration. There's all these different things. However, we're just not out there, so we're kind of like a myth. No, two myths on the air together. So.
Well, let me tell our listeners about both of you all so that they know who they're listening to, if it's your first time joining us. Von Eaglin is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. He is a certified couple relationship trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues, anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few. He is also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the counseling and higher education department. His PhD research focuses on couple relationships, men and groups. Today with him, we're going to be talking about nice guys finish last.
Yep.
And his partner, are you guys in the same practice or did you meet in college?
In the same practice. We work together every day.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, and Dewan Bennett is also a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California.
Vallejo,
did I say that
California.
Right?
California. Yes. Yes,
okay. And I guess you say it like jalapeno with the J, right?
I like that.
That was good.
So, Dewan has two master's degrees, one in counseling, another in psychology, and he is currently in the process of finishing up his PhD in clinical psychology. He is the owner of Healthy Life Interventions Counseling in Oklahoma City, as well as his private practice, D. Bennett Counseling, here in Dallas. Dewan believes that the key to mental behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. I'm trying to learn how to breathe. I finally have my first singing lesson today. Voice lesson, I should say, at 3 o'clock.
That's awesome.
I hear you
sing on the air all the time.
Well,
so.
I love to sing. You know, I may start singing with a band. Who knows? I'm not dead yet.
Why
and
not?
I really want to. I really, really want to. It's on my bucket list. So
that's awesome.
Even if it's only one time.
Mm-hmm.
We need a drummer and a guitarist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I've got the drum. Got the drummer. I got the whole band. Aviana's hooked up.
Yeah, you know, your boyfriend is awesome. When I came to that, I guess.
To the party.
The party, like, I did not know. He has a lot of soul, by the way. I like him playing. Like, he's awesome. So.
They did a really good job.
Yeah, they did. So Luke and them, maybe that's who I play with the first time. I don't know. You know, or who I sing with. I'm not going to play. I don't know how to play an instrument, but I can sing and dance. So
yeah, I believe that.
And so that's part of it, too, right?
Yeah.
That's entertainment. Okay, so I love what we were talking about before I gave you guys your grand entrance. Thank you very much, Dewan. And so, you know, it is unusual to have two male black men that are working, both of them working on their PhD in the studio. And I think that's why we decided we were going to do this special show today, because we're also going to be recording the podcast after the broadcast with you guys.
I can't wait.
Well, tell everyone what we're going to be talking about. You
so,
say it.
We're going to be talking about a little bit of BDSM, right?
Yeah. Some sexual fetishes and
sexual
stuff.
Sexual fetishes, a little bit of abuse by pleasure. So
yeah. I don't know. I'm the way you're saying it, I'm a little nervous. You're kind of starting to scare me.
Yeah, some bondage.
I don't know. I've been doing a lot of reading.
Yeah.
Not something that I ever participated in, but I'm not judgmental about anyone or anything because life experiences, I think, cause you to go in different directions in your life. But I have a lot of opinions about it, for sure. And I've been reading a lot about it. I actually was pretty innocent on the subject and can't even believe some of the things that I read.
Yep.
So I'm like, what?
So I just encourage all of our listeners to keep an open mind.
Yeah, keep an open mind.
Keep an open mind.
You'll learn a little something.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was Marie was telling me about some video that someone told her about. It's basically, I know everybody's going to go, okay, I'm turning off the radio right now, but it was about the story of all these pedophiles that had no place else to go, and so they started a pedophile trailer park.
Okay. A pedophile trailer park.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I swear to you. We're going to have to text her.
This is new right here.
I'm going to have to text her so I have the information to put on the broadcast or the podcast after the broadcast, but yeah, and I was like, oh, but when you hear how these guys ended up pedophiles, they were sexually abused themselves as children. And so when you hear stories like that, you're like, wow, you have a deeper level of understanding. But I still don't think it negates the fact that being a pedophile is like the worst possible thing you could ever be or do in this lifetime. So if you're out there listening and you feel like that might be you, you might want to listen in because maybe we have some help for you.
Gotcha.
Like, seriously.
Gotcha. Well, actually, I want to differentiate between what a pedophile is and someone who engages in BDSM, because someone who's a pedophile has a proclivity. They have a natural bent to children. And that is something that's very different than someone who is engaging in a fantasy or who may have a fetish that they're trying to, use their imagination to fulfill. And there's a lot of different things with BDSM in terms of like power and control and the transfer of power and control and safety and communication versus someone who is a pedophile. A pedophile, if you ever read the book called Predators, I think it was by Ann Salter. She's a PhD candidate over at Harvard. Or she got a PhD from Harvard, and she talks about the difference between pedophiles, the difference between rapists, different types of rapists. She talks about the difference between someone who is a sadist or a masochist, and she goes through the different attributes of and characteristics of all these different types of people. But a pedophile, very, very different. They are predators, and they will look to expose people. They will look to what we call
children.
They groom children, they can identify a specific type of child who is open to being assaulted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, no, it does. And more sense than ever, because I've been talking about this all week, but I am continuing to read the book, A Little Piece of Light, A Memoir of Hope, Prison and Life Unbound by Donna Hilton. She's a Jamaican woman that was basically adopted at 7 years old to a couple in New York. And I'm not going to tell you any more because, first of all, I don't want to give away the book, but I'll tell you, off the air. But it's a really good book. And this woman was repeatedly sexually abused starting at a very early age.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
chronic trauma.
Chronic trauma and some of the things that it led to. And I've kind of like weaved all this information and swirled it around in my head. And so I do think there are some strong connections between sexual abuse as a child and how it can just destroy your life.
Yeah.
And maybe lead you into that type of BDSM.
Yeah.
Because
I
don't feel that that's normal behavior.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
So
we're going to talk about that, actually.
But
when we talk about sexual assault of children, it changes the psychosexual development of someone. And so because, I worked at the Children's Advocacy Center of Denton County, and these were kids who were physically and sexually abused. And so if I'm a kid and something happens to me, my body may respond to it. However, my mind may be saying, something's not right about this. So you get this mixed message, almost kind of like a double bind message. And I find that my body's not my own. I don't have power and control when it comes to this certain area of my life. It changes, again, what is the normal process of psychosexual development for a child. Because even in the past, even when we talk about pornography, we talked about this a few times, but pornography changes the psychosexual development of children, because sexuality used to be an unfolding process. So what would happen is that, like when I was growing up, my dad had a magazine.
Playboy.
Yeah, exactly. Up in the attic.
Penthouse.
Yeah, and all of a sudden I came upon it one day. We were talking about it, and some friends mentioned it in middle school, and then it was an unfolding process. I found out about sexuality in a gradual process in stages. this. Now, bam, it's right in your face. All I got to do is just open up my cell phone and it's right there. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about pornography, I believe it's four A's. One is really aggressive. Okay, now it's really affordable. There's anonymity to it because I can do it and no one ever knows about it, you know? And so
I can't wait to hear your opinion about it. I, again, feel that that is very damaging and it's a slippery slope.
It is. It is.
It's a very slippery slope.
It really is because it's changed the way we look at sex. And we talked about the differences between personal sex and then impersonal sex. And we have changed what personal sex is to now impersonal sex because the stats on Pornhub, the biggest word search or the word that is searched most is love. And so you're looking at things that
really
you,
on Pornhub
on Pornhub. Right in Pornhub
listen to you two in unison over there
the unicorn is coming out right there so no pun intended but so the so with Pornhub I think there are enough clicks to cover every man, woman, boy and child on Earth 16 times over. That's how much traffic this website is getting. So
what does that say about our society?
We're sexual beings, apparently. You most know, definitely. So
well,
so,
we are, but and I couldn't agree more. And I think sex is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
And
that's how you and I were made, Bernadette.
It just gives you a false sense of what true intimacy is like, right?
Yeah. So there are different types of intimacy, and when we talk about impersonal sex and personal sex, yeah, there are things that can be sensual, there are things that can be erotic, there are things that can turn you on. But when we talk about personal sex, that's very different because you're, you know, even whenever you have an orgasm with your partner, you're releasing certain hormones and chemicals from norepinephrine, dopamine, of course, that makes you feel good. Oxytocin. Anytime you touch somebody, anytime you hug somebody, you release oxytocin. It makes you feel bonded and connected. You also release another hormone called vasopressin. And so whenever you have an orgasm with your partner, that's why you feel so close to them. It's like, yo, they really get me, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Well, that's leads because, I mean, at the very root of it is trust, you know, which leads and risk, a little bit of risk involved and, you know, fully giving yourself to another person.
It is. It's vulnerability involved.
It is vulnerability. But it can lead to amazing sex.
Yes, it can.
It can.
You sound like you've had. No, I'm joking.
Well,
we don't have to go there
on land. Try not to talk about me at all because I, you know, I got to keep some stuff private.
So.
But, but we've got a great show coming up for all of you. Stay tuned. We've got Von Eaglin talking about Nice Guys Finish Last and DeJuan Bennett, The Trauma of Everyday Life. Can't wait. Stay tuned. One Life Radio.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker. This is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. It's H Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
It's time to turn back to nature and the wonderful plants that capture solar energy in a near magical way and then offer it to us so freely. Join Sun Warrior in our mission to renew ourselves, our minds, our bodies, and our world. Together, we can truly transform the planet one warrior at a time. Visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, everyone. This is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Hello, I'm Allie McGraw for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Our animal companions rely on us, especially during a natural disaster. If you're forced to evacuate your home, do not leave your animals behind. Visit helpinganimals.com.
You start singing. This is a cute little song. I haven't heard this in years.
Here for the boys.
Oh my gosh. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Von Eaglin in studio with me and Dewan Bennett. They are both licensed professional counselors working on their PhD. Dewan Bennett is actually a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo,
Jalapeno.
California. Right. Dewan has two master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology. He is currently in the process of finishing up his PhD in clinical psychology, and he is the owner of Healthy Life Interventions Counseling in Oklahoma City, as well as his private practice, D. Bennett Counseling, here in Dallas. Dewan believes that the key to mental and behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. I could not agree more. Today, we're talking about the trauma of everyday life. Okay, so Dewan, what is trauma?
Okay, so when you're talking about trauma, you're talking about someone who has experienced an isolated situation that their body couldn't respond to. So they didn't really understand the proper response to the situation. They didn't have the proper coping mechanisms to deal with it. So when people think about trauma, they're usually thinking about, someone who's experienced combat war, or somebody who's been sexually abused, or somebody who's been in a domestic violence situation. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the trauma that we experience in everyday life, right?
Right.
A lot of times you don't think about this, but bullying. A kid who essentially goes to school every day and has to deal with the kid walking up and pushing him or grabbing his backpack.
Oh, yeah. And people bully when they drive.
Yes.
I heard a story this morning of a friend of mine who was bullied on the freeway. This guy, like, ran her down, tried to run her down twice.
Really?
And flipped her off because of her Beto O'Rourke sticker that she's got on the back of her car.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I've seen it on the freeway. I almost got into a wreck with a guy who he literally drove up on side of somebody, gave him the finger, then pulled in front of them, and then slammed on his brakes.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. And I said, you would have got everyone into a wreck because you're acting stupid, really, on the freeway.
Absolutely. And, you know, and this is something, I know we're talking about trauma of everyday life, but I find that even driving is very traumatic now. Seriously, people, like, just, you know, make me mad left and right. They
just don't signal.
They drive too fast. They ride too close to you. And then last week, everyday life, I witnessed someone die right in front of me. I was one of the first responders on the side of the road of an accident. And I was traumatized all weekend, you guys.
Mm-hmm. That's vicarious trauma.
Yeah. Yes, that's everyday trauma.
Yes. And not only that, so imagine someone who's been in a really bad car accident. And they almost like lost their life as a result of, you know, the injuries, having every day to deal with aggressive drivers or people who, you know, are not paying attention and cutting them off all the time. Every time that happens, it's like their life flashes before their eyes and they have like this reoccurring experience of the trauma they suffered.
Right.
So those are some of the things that we see on a daily basis that people are totally not paying attention to when we're dealing with trauma. Somebody who has a chronic illness. right? And they're essentially trying to prepare to deal with life knowing that they're suffering and they're not able to function and do the things that they're used to doing on a normal mm-hmm. basis. You know,
right.
they can't play with their kids anymore or,
right.
or they can't give their grandkids, you know, a hug or even go to work. Sometimes that's trauma. But the one that people ignore a lot is a breakup.
Yeah.
You know, you've been with someone for years.
Oh, tell me about
it. Significant portions of your life, divorce, and now all of a sudden your life is thrown into shambles because you don't know what's next. And those experiences become significantly traumatizing for people, and we just sometimes don't know what to do. But as a society, sometimes we ignore that.
Yeah.
And we're not understanding that there are people walking around every day experiencing some sense of trauma.
Well, and trauma, even paying bills can be trauma.
On your bank account's low. Okay.
I had to initiate a lawsuit last week. It was very traumatic.
Right.
I didn't want to do it,
right.
but I was left with no choice, you know?
Yeah, that's very
those
true.
Kind of things happen.
Yes.
That's very true.
Yes.
Can I go back to something you said, Dewan?
Yes, go
so,
ahead.
Because, you know, couples relationships, that's my wheelhouse. And I've talked about this on the air before a couple of times. However, when someone experiences a breakup, because nowadays your identity is totally wrapped up in this relationship, especially if you have someone who cheats on you. So you're not only going through a grieving process, you know, but I'm now experiencing betrayal. And because my whole identity was wrapped up in the relationship, I now experience trauma. And there are big T's and little T's in terms mm-hmm. of trauma. You have things that are really traumatic. And everybody's different in terms of how they experience trauma. But you'll find that people who have been cheated on, many times they will experience and exhibit features of post-traumatic stress disorder,
yeah.
where they have hypervigilance, like states of hypervigilance, where something triggers them, then all of a sudden they go into that state of loss.
Mm-hmm.
They have states where they may have nightmares. They may experience what's called psychic numbing. They may have intrusive thoughts or flashbacks because that person, their whole identity is wrapped up in that person. And now that person is no longer there. And so they will frequently experience features of PTSD during a breakup, especially if there's been some kind of cheating in the relationship.
Well, absolutely. And then, and usually if there's cheating, then there's also, I mean, divorce is so brutal.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you get a lot of times you'll get hit with just god-awful petitions and things, you know, after a divorce has been filed and just stuff, you know, stuff to deal with after a divorce, dealing with the trauma with the kids, crying,
yes.
you know, crying
yes.
and crying for their dad. You know, what do you say to them? What do you do when you've got to put your own oxygen mask on first and you don't even know what to do?
Mm-hmm.
Not even
you know?
If you think about the kids who grow up every day in these violent communities in which they're exposed to gun violence and they're
yep.
exposed to drugs, they're exposed to abuse, they're experiencing this every day and what happens? They have to go to school and now they have to focus and they have to pay attention, but they live in an environment that is chaotic and they don't understand what normalcy is.
Right.
So they're always in a state of hyperarousal. They're always afraid or ready to fight or buck against what we perceive to be normal, but for them it's danger. You know, that amygdala kicks in and saying, hey, fight. It's time to fight, flight,
yeah.
or run. You have to figure out what you're going to do in this situation to protect yourself better because for them it's a means of survival.
It is. And I can speak on that too. I lived like that for years. I my first pizza shop, Pizza Patron, the first one,
yeah.
was at 5440 Jim Miller Road down in the hood, and
oh,
it
yeah.
was brutal.
Oh, man. That
I'm
is...
here to tell you.
Wow.
In the late
wow.
80s, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I've talked about it for years on the air, but you know, I've been in an armed robbery at gunpoint like four times in my life.
Wow.
And it's brutal and it traumatized you. The first time, we're lucky we made it out alive. We really, really were. But how hard was it to get up that next day and unlock that door and wait on people you've never seen before and wonder whether or not that's going to be the one that pulls the gun on you next?
Right.
You know, and it happened, like I said, three more times. So, you know, life can be very, very stressful at times. It really can.
I totally agree with you. So, you know, because, and I can imagine when you're in that situation, the next person, because you never know who's going to be the person who pulls that gun. It can be someone who's unassuming or someone you don't expect. Sometimes they can even know you sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but that can be extremely traumatizing to somebody. And you'll experience those flashbacks and those intrusive thoughts. And then, you know, you'll continue to ruminate about it because the mind, anytime you get traumatized, it disperses in the brain differently. And the mind is always trying to figure out what the heck just happened.
Right.
How do I make sense of this?
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand it. How do I make sense of this? How do I place it in my brain in the appropriate way where things do make sense? Because I need to figure out why, like, because you don't understand. You're really confused. And so an instance like that, I can understand why, you know, you may experience a state of hypervigilance and that
yeah.
amygdala does get stimulated. So,
well, I was thinking of this, people that have to deal with identity theft. How traumatic would that be
yes.
to have to deal with that?
Yes.
And you have to deal with it. That would unnerve you to your very core.
are working in a very, very toxic work environment where people uh-huh. are getting fired every day left and right. You're walking in every day on edge, not realizing, hey, am I going to have my job yeah. when I leave out here today? Those situations become very hard for people to deal with. And those situations can easily go from a single isolated event of trauma to PTSD because the failure to deal with it, the failure to recognize it and figure out, okay, what do I need to do to help me deal with this toxic work environment that I'm in.
Yeah.
And so now they're really struggling to figure out what to do next.
Well, and I think of the farming industry, the animal industry, those people that have to murder animals every mm-hmm. single day. They're surrounded by death and blood and destruction and just horrific, anti-cruelty treatment to animals. Or, I mean, cruelty to animals. Sorry, I get so jacked up when I talk about this. Because I have visions. I have images burned into my brain from watching so many videos, from being a Vanguard member for PETA and Mercy for Animals, the SPCA, all these organizations that I'm involved in, you see images that you cannot forget.
Right, right.
And that's what really feeds my passion.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, sometimes the older I get, sometimes I think, you know, ignorance is bliss. Sometimes I don't need to know everything. However, whenever I see videos of, you know, animals being abused, just like whenever you saw that person who passed away because you were a first responder, mm-hmm. you do experience this vicarious trauma. And DeJuan and I did a presentation to some of Dallas black police officers, and we talked about how they experience vicarious trauma on a daily basis,
oh, yeah.
even sometimes. Because if you walk up on a scene and someone's just died, you know, I heard about this story where a woman who just, you know, ran over her child, the baby's head is now, you know, and this is
another story.
And she runs up to the firefighter and is like, save my child. You know, you can do nothing for that child.
Nothing.
So what happens? He has to bring that home. And just like someone who experiences that type of trauma or vicarious trauma on a daily basis or even just infrequently on their job, they will bring that home. And on some level, it will desensitize you
yeah.
to, you know, violence at some point.
So. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that after the break. At what point does trauma become PTSD? What is complex trauma and how to fix it, right? Or seek some help?
How to recognize it. How to figure out what door to open.
All right. I can't wait to continue on. I just love all this psychology stuff. And I'm super excited about recording the podcast today after the broadcast.
BDSM,
talking about BDSM. Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Blood runs wild when I look into your eyes. You're such a child. I can see straight through the light. Wellbeing Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, everyone. It's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices.
And for every H-Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H-Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H-Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker, and this is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans. But they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education, and I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
I love that song. Welcome back to One Live Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Lexi Brinkley in studio with me and Von Eaglin and Dewan Bennett. They are both licensed professional counselors and both working on their PhDs, and you can find them at WeFixBrains.com. We were talking about the traumas of everyday life with Dewan Bennett, with Von Eaglin jumping in there. But I really want to, I want everybody to have like a takeaway. If you are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, let's do this. How does trauma become post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, one of the ways that your trauma or that particular isolated incident may turn into PTSD, because there's a distinction between the two. When we're talking about trauma, we're talking about more than likely an isolated incident, something that is not reoccurring. We're not always talking about situations such as combat violence or anything like that, domestic violence. We're talking about more so an isolated incident. When that situation can become traumatic, we're talking about a situation where that incident went unchecked. You didn't take the time to process it. You didn't take the time to identify proper coping skills. You didn't take the time to go and get help. So now we're talking about, you know, 3 weeks, a month of just thinking about it, just ruminating over the situation over and over again. And now what happens is you start to experience the symptoms of PTSD. We talked about hypervigilance. We talked about hyperarousal, the fear of someone trying to attack you, not being able to sleep, or not being able to actually enjoy things that normally were enjoyable to you. When you get to a sense of PTSD, you really start to suffer in everyday life situations that normally were that brought you pleasure, like your marriage, your kids, your family.
Yeah. What about you were talking in the first segment about memory loss?
Yes. So here's the thing about trauma. So a lot of times people who go through chronic trauma, so they go through a series of trauma throughout their life. One of the things that happen is they're always in a state of trying to figure out if they need to protect themselves. So their amygdala gets stimulated, and now all the blood from their body flows to their muscles. And now they start to get in a situation where they need to figure out if they need to defend themselves. Because of this situation, they're always at a sense where I'm trying to figure out, are you a friend? Are you foe? So now I don't ever have time to really enjoy things, to take in the memories mm-hmm. of life, right? To look at the sky and look at my friends that are having fun and take time to enjoy with my kids. Because if I'm in the park with my kids, I'm not forming memories of them jumping on the slides or, you know, playing in the sand. I'm scouting the situation, trying to figure out if there's any danger around. I see a guy who maybe looks like he has his hand in his pocket. Does he have a gun? Do I need to go and attack him, or do I need to flee the situation? Mm-hmm. So you start to not really be able to process and store memories properly because you're not forming them. Yeah. You're always in a state of on edge. And when you're on edge, it's hard to remember things.
I'm thinking, you know, children mostly here that in their childhoods that are trapped in these communities that, you know, have high crime, right. violence, drugs, prostitution. Mm-hmm. It's just no good comes from it. No good comes from it. I don't know what the answers are. I don't think any of us really do. But for someone out there that is suffering from trauma or post-traumatic stress disorder, what's one little piece of information you want to give them, both of you, to put in their pocket right now?
I say talk about it. I think, you know, we've learned throughout thousands of years, well, not thousands of years, but years of research and the importance of just saying something. Mm-hmm. How you feel? What's going on with your mind? Let's process this situation. Won't you tell me what happened? And let's figure out if we can put the pieces of the puzzles together. Because what happens is we expect a lot of people who go through trauma to be able to explain things to us in chronological order. Mm-hmm. But that's not how they experience it. What we need to focus on is the emotions. Because when you focus on the emotions, the facts of the situation, then you can start helping them put the pieces together instead of saying, hey, so tell me how this started. Mm-hmm. What day did it happen? Because they don't have the memories to form to be able to give you that. That's why sometimes you see rape victims, they can't tell you exactly what happened.
Right.
They have little pieces and specks of the situation yep. that gives them the idea to put the puzzle together. Mm-hmm. But you have to start with dealing with the emotions, and then you can kind of start talking about it. And the more you start to talk about it, you feel comfortable with dealing with it.
Well, in a lot of those situations, after you've been raped, don't you sometimes, or during a rape, disassociate?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because you disassociate. Because it's a coping skill, because you're experiencing trauma now. The more intense the feeling, the more likely you are sometimes to remember something, that something did happen. However, when you disassociate, that's the body's way or that's the mind's way of trying to cope with a situation mm-hmm. that is traumatic. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of want to add to what Dwan said. So it is really, really important to talk about it. However, you need to do it in a really safe environment. And that's why, you know, counselors like us that we're available, because, you know, if I talk about it, I may re-traumatize myself at right. the same time that I'm talking about, because I'm going back in, I'm reliving the trauma as I'm saying it. So it needs to be in a really safe environment with someone who can understand, empathize, validate my experience, and then help me work through the process of healing and helping me to put it in the right place inside of my head. And so that's really important. So it's not just talking about it, because if I ask someone, hey, tell me about your rape, and they go through the whole rape,
right.
and then again, all they're doing is reliving the whole experience sometimes. Right. So it needs to be in a really safe environment with a trauma specialist like Dwan. So.
Yeah. If you have one, but yeah, I'm thinking again, I'm thinking of this book, A Little Piece of Light. This woman, Donna Hilton, she had no one to turn to.
Right.
When she did to tell her story, not only was she traumatized, as you said, telling it, then she became that person's next victim.
Wow.
One of them being a minister, one of them being a school teacher. Mm-hmm. Her stepfather repeatedly raped her for 3 years.
Wow.
You know, and it's just, it gets worse. I mean, it's like, how could all of that violence happen to one person over and over and over again? But you said it yourself. You know, predators, they see that weakness.
They can see it. They can see it. They see it. They sense it. I mean, if you see a pedophile that goes into a church and you don't know who they are, but let's say I know who the pedophile is, and they go into a youth church, and, you know, because, you know, men aren't as, you know, in, they're not as, I guess, present in the church, and he goes into the youth church, you'll find that he'll pick out that one kid who looks like they can be groomed, and he'll have that kid sitting on his lap while all the other kids are playing
mm-hmm.
because he knows from experience that that's the kid that I can target. So
The kid's needy. The kid seems to not get attention. So the attention that I give the kid, they're very appreciative of
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
The kid likes being around me. You know, they're preparing that kid to set him up for future acts of abuse.
Yeah, it's scary. It's really scary. It's that book has traumatized me, but I'm educated a lot more on the subject than I was prior. And so, you know, I feel like I need to help spread the word, because this is something we need to shut down.
Yes.
We really need to shut down all these predators that are out there, you know, trying to harm our children all over the world. Mm-hmm. I'm like, as a mother, as a female, I'm sick of it. I'm going to do whatever I can to shut it down. So,
you're doing your part with this show and bringing awareness to it.
Thank you so much for saying that. I hope so, is all I can tell you. I hope so. So we're we're gonna lighten things up here, and we're gonna go to break. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about nice guys finish last with Von Eaglin before we record the podcast after the broadcast. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. I can't ever be brave,
'cause you make my heart. Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi everyone, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Hi, I'm Laravelle Bundy for PETA. Every summer, thousands of dogs die from heat stroke after being left alone in hot cars. The inside of a car can reach 100 degrees in minutes, even in the shade with the window slightly open. Keep your dog cool and safe this summer. Never leave them in unattended hot cars. If you see a dog alone in a car during warm weather, call the humane authorities, the police, or do whatever is necessary to get the dog out. His or her life may depend upon it. Thank you.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
Hey, Mr. Nice Guy. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Dewan Bennett and Von Eaglin. They're both in studio with us. Von Eaglin is a licensed professional counselor supervisor and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. He is working on his PhD. His PhD is focused on couples, relationships, men, and groups. You can find him at wefixbrains.com. Today, we're talking about nice guys finish last. Okay, so what does it mean to be a nice guy?
A nice guy. What does it mean to be a nice guy? Now, this is kind of based on the book by Dr. Robert Glover, but I've had a lot of clients come into my office dealing with this. And so a nice guy, so there's a myth. Whenever you're a nice guy, you believe that if you're good, if you're giving, if you're caring, then in return, that's going to be given back to you. So you'll be happy, you'll be loved, and you'll be fulfilled. But however, that is a myth, because you can't be too nice, if that makes sense. So whenever you're a nice guy, nice guys tend to believe that if they give, they believe that and if they're generous, then they'll like have that reciprocity of love and appreciation given back to them. But that's not always the case. And so if they're givers, then they tend to be caretakers. They also seek approval from other people too. And so
nice guys?
Nice guys do seek approval, because, and we've talked about this a little bit with just men in general, but if I externalize my self-worth, so my self-worth is based on how much you like me, and then if you don't like me, then who am I? Where's my self-esteem? Where does that go? And so a nice guy, again, they're trying to seek approval in order to validate themselves. And so a nice guy also, you know, they believe they need to hide their perceived flaws and their mistakes, because they're always sometimes trying to control a situation because I need to be approved of by others.
Well, give me an example of Mr. Nice Guy, because, you know, I like a gentleman. I think every woman does.
Right.
Want a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And so to me, a Mr. Nice Guy is just somebody who is honest, who works hard, who treats people well,
right?
Or at least how he you like the golden rule,
right?
You know,
right. So,
and
ahead.
I don't see what's so wrong with that.
Well, see, you know, I mean, so we're talking about the motivation behind it, though, because if I'm a nice guy, but I'm being nice in order to have reciprocity, I'm not doing it because, you know, I'm comfortable with myself, but I'm doing it out of like kind of like a manipulation tool, because
it's not genuine.
It's not genuine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a hidden agenda. There's an ulterior motive whenever I'm a nice guy, because I'm being nice in order to get something back from you. I'm not what I call an integrated male.
Where
I'm
an integrated male that mm-hmm. what? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're good. So, but I'm being nice, but I'm trying to get something back in return. Either it's my own self-validation, or to kind of seek approval, or it is, to try to sway your opinion, and so you can think highly of me, and if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So you're being manipulated.
I was just going to say, is it a manipulation?
Yes.
It sounds like manipulation.
Yeah, so when we talk about what's wrong with being a nice guys a lot of times are genuine. Like, they tend to be dishonest, because sometimes they can be secretive, because there is a driven, hidden motive to try to seek approval from someone. And so what I'll try to do is not make you upset. In other towns, I'll try to be subtly manipulative in order to get that approval that I need from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the kind of nice guy we're talking about.
Mr. Nice Guy, I'm thinking about Donna Hilton, her story, A Little Piece of Light. Mr. Nice Guys are the ones that played Mr. Nice Guys were the guys that raped her repeatedly.
Yeah.
Ministers, teachers.
Gotcha. Well, so they acted like a nice guy, but what we're talking about essentially is someone who has very, very poor boundaries and tends to be a people pleaser. And so here's my spiel on people pleasers. So what happens is that if I'm a people pleaser, I feel good whenever I make you happy. And so alternatively, I don't feel as good about myself when I make you happy. So what happens is that I tend to over accommodate other people and then violate my own boundaries, because, you know, I never let you know what I actually needed, because my whole goal is to try to please you. For instance, if I have a client who's a pleaser and I say, hey, how was session today? They're going to say, oh, it was great. Why? It's because they want me to be happy with them as a counselor. So they're going to be doing everything to try to take care of my needs. But whenever you project that out and you keep looking at it, someone who is a pleaser, anyone who's a people pleaser, if you have difficulty with boundaries, this segment is for you. Because if you have difficulties with boundaries and you don't let someone know your needs, then many times they will violate your needs, and they may not even know that they violated your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll end up being bitter. You'll end up feeling resent toward that person, because you never had your needs met, and that person didn't even know they were violating your needs, because your whole goal was to try to make that person happy. So a nice guy is always trying to go around making people happy, and I'm trying to please you.
Yeah, I was going to give me an example of Mr. Nice Guy.
Well, like, you know, I was
Mr. I think you're Mr. Nice Guy.
You know, so I was,
you know,
Mr.
I'm just saying. Yeah, you guys are both nice guys. Well, I don't hope you're not manipulating me.
I'll say it like this. So I was Mr. Nice Guy when I was growing up, because, you know, I would say, hey, you know what? Why doesn't she like me? I'm so nice. I'm just trying to be your friend and everything like that. But, you know, I didn't realize that whenever I was trying to be this girl's friend, I was trying to get some kind of approval from her instead of being comfortable in my own skin, because I was trying to seek the validation from outside of myself. If that person approves of me, then I'm somebody. And so I would be nice in order to get something. So that's where the
manipulation. Were you attracted to her?
Well, of course I was attracted to her. I was trying to be around her. So I'm going to be nice in order to get what I want.
So guys do that.
So he was kind of grooming her, you know, to accept him.
Calling me
right?
a predator. Yeah.
What's up with that?
You know, guys, sometimes, you know, I've heard it this way. You know, sometimes guys, we fall into two categories. Either we're going to be a predator or we're going to be a protector. And you got to figure out which of the two, you know, because sometimes good predators can act like good protectors at the same time. So if that makes sense. So, yeah. Anyways, though, but
I'm trying to wrap my head around.
You're trying to wrap your head around this. So nice guys, a lot of times, again, they can be passive aggressive. But if you're too nice and you're people pleasing, sometimes you can have anger because you're full of rage because when you didn't set your boundary, people violated your boundary, and then sometimes you even feel isolated as well because people won't see who you actually are, and it's very possible to be around people and still feel isolated at the same time.
Well, is there any way to tell who really is a Mr. Nice Guy? Is there like a some sort of test, not in a manipulative way, but but just is there any way to really tell if someone's genuinely a nice guy?
Well, we're looking at character and we're looking at, do you feel comfortable in your own skin? Do you feel like you, for instance, like how do I treat other people? If I have parents, let's say I'm giving my parents money and I can't say no. Well, am I doing that to please them? Am I an enabler? Am I helping them out? Am I not able to set a boundary with people? So that's one really good telltale sign, is that when someone is not able to set good boundaries, I can't set good boundaries with my employer. I can't set good boundaries with my children. I can't set good boundaries with my wife or my husband. I can't set good boundaries in general. Then a lot of times you'll see someone who will do things in order to be nice, but sometimes there is an ulterior motive. So, yeah.
Yeah, I tell people to look for robotic behaviors, right? So when you're dating someone and they seem to kind of constantly same time every morning, 8 o'clock, good morning beautiful, how you doing? Good morning beautiful, how you doing? Now granted, you know, they may want to check on you each morning to make sure you're okay and let you know you're beautiful, but if it seems like, you know, that it becomes too repetitive and that's just the only thing they're sending, then you have to pay attention to, is there a motive there? Is this person trying to convince me that I'm thinking of them or that they're thinking of me? But really it's not, it's just more so they're working their way, trying to get into my heart just to present themselves to someone else later.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, so again, the nice guy sometimes is many times is the guy who gets taken advantage of because they're being nice.
Yes.
And they're not standing on their own 2 feet, on their own ground. So so we move to what, you know, Dr. Robert Glover calls being an integrated male. And what that means is that you have a really strong sense of self. You know who you are, and then you like who you are. You like who you are just as you are. So, again, you're comfortable, especially for a guy. You have to be comfortable with your masculinity and then your sexuality as well, because those two sometimes work in tandem with guys, you know. But a lot of guys aren't comfortable with their masculinity, and we've talked about this before, but sometimes guys, we, you know, exhibit what we call hypermasculinity in order to try to overcompensate for the lack or the perceived needs or the lack of perceived, you know, character qualities we wish that we had. So
what a guy that's, you know, insecure with his masculinity, what does that look like?
So we've talked about what it looks like to be an alpha male and then a beta male. So a lot of times someone who's secure in their masculinity, you'll see that they're able to express emotions and be okay with it. And so guys, sometimes sometimes we're what I call emotionally dismissive, where we don't value feelings. But someone who is secure in their masculinity, it's okay for me to cry. It's okay for me to be sad. It's okay for me to be angry. It's okay for me to experience all these emotions, because all emotions are acceptable. Not all behaviors are not. You know what I mean? It's okay for me to be angry, but it's not okay for me go punch a hole in the wall or go try to hurt someone. So they're okay with emotions. They're okay with conflict. It's nothing's wrong with conflict. Conflict many times gets a negative connotation. So whenever I have conflict with someone, I'm okay with addressing conflict and me seeing it as something that is positive. So someone who's also secure in their masculinity, they're going to feel comfortable whenever they're talking to women a lot of times, because I'm not trying to seek approval from you whenever I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so you know, you can like me or you don't have to like me, but I feel comfortable in my masculinity.
Well, I think the same thing goes for women.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't you?
I think that, you know, for women, a lot of times you see when they're comfortable, they don't mind being themselves and presenting themselves as who they are. So when they're comfortable in their feminism or their ability to be themselves, you get to know the woman instead of telling you about, you know, the job she has or the fact that she can cook or she can do these things, mm-hmm. the things that she feels that you want to hear. Instead, she's presenting herself as who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's letting you know, these are my cards. Take them or not.
Yeah.
And for guys, you know, sometimes when we struggle with who we are, we don't present our cards. We give you the perception of what you think a man should be, that we're going to protect you, and we're going to strong, we're going to be a provider. And then you get with us, you get married to us, and then we go quit our job and live off you. So that's sometimes you get to see the dynamics of the two and how they shift.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I've got all kinds of questions I'm going to be asking you,
gotcha.
Like after the show.
Awesome. So, you know, someone who's comfortable with their masculinity, they take responsibility for everything they do. They don't play this victim role where they abdicate responsibility. You know, you know, they're going to show that they are accountable for all of their actions, all of their decisions, and they're also going to be proactive in trying to seek and do things that are going to better themselves. So they're not necessarily happy. They have what I call a healthy discontentment. So
wow. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. This show flew by talking about this stuff. You know, I want to thank you so much, Vaughn, Dewan. I can't wait to get on the air with you here in just a minute. Well, not on the air, but on the podcast. So everyone, you know, you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, Sun Warrior, Sunlight and Infrared Saunas, the H Hemp Company, Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Okay, guys, are you ready? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.